हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। We have seen few sentences of this introduction to Bhagavad, the Bhashyam of Bhagavad Gita, the Upodghata Bhashyam. We'll be seeing. Actually, Adishankara Bhagavatpada writes his commentary only from the 11th verse of the second chapter, where exactly the teaching begins. But this is an upodghataha, an introduction. We saw in the previous class where the purpose of Bhagavan's avatara is made very clear. Veda Shastram consists of two disciplines which should be sequentially followed for accomplishing the ultimate goal in terms of knowledge. Pravritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha, Nivritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha. And these two dharmas should be strictly, choicelessly followed by all people of all varnas, all ashramas, by all those who are aspiring for moksha. And pravritti margaha, pravritti lakshanaha dharmaha is for preparing the mind in terms of adequate mental purification, mental steadiness required for the attainment of jnanam. And nivritti marga lakshanaha dharmaha, implying jnana yogaha, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge, involving three steps: shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. And going through the discipline of this jnana yogaha, otherwise said to be nivritti margaha lakshana, nivritti lakshanaha dharmaha, is for the attainment of jnanam. Because jnanam itself is our ultimate goal, mokshaha. And these two, there are only two disciplines. And there are two lifestyles. And of these two disciplines, there's no choice. Both these disciplines must be followed by people who are aspiring for jnanam sequentially. And for which Bhagavan himself incarnated himself to teach the same thing in the form of Bhagavad Gita. Originally, this Veda Shastram, consisting of these two disciplines, is a timeless shastram which Bhagavan himself taught this to his own four Manasaputraha, Bhagavan taught this to Brahma, and Brahma taught this to his four sons. This is how there's a Brahmana parampara. Then Bhagavan taught, in fourth chapter, Bhagavan says that Bhagavan himself taught even the Kshatriyas. So there are two paramparas, Brahmana parampara and Kshatriya parampara, of lineage of teachers. There is an unbroken lineage of teachers. And this lineage of teachers has Bhagavan himself as the beginning link. And that's Bhagavan who had already taught this. The way of life, Sanatanaha Dharmaha, involving these two disciplines. In the form of Pravritti Margaha Lakshanaha, Nivritti Marga, Nivritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha, Pravritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha, himself again, now, taught this Bhagavad Gita, bringing the same content into this Bhagavad Gita. This much we have already understood. I'm going to start from where we left last class. Okay? And of this, it was said, the Pravritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha, the discipline involving the performance of actions, is for accomplishing the relative ends. Artha Kamaha Dharmaha, Artha Kama Dharmaha, otherwise said to be, here, we have two different words here, Artha Kama Dharmaha, and the Nivritti Margaha Lakshanaha, otherwise said to be the Jnana Yogaha, the pursuit of Jnanam, is for the accomplishing ultimate end, Mokshaha. So here, Bhagavan says, in this commentary, we have seen Abhyudaya Nishreyasa Hetuhu. So Abhyudayaha is a word which means prayers, which stands for Artha Kama Dharmaha. So Pravritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha is a discipline which should be followed for accomplishing Artha Kama Dharma's time-bound ends, relative ends, meant by the word Abhyudayaha. Nivritti Margaha, Nivritti Lakshanaha Dharmaha is for accomplishing the absolute end, Mokshaha, otherwise said to be Nishreyas. Nishreyas means Mokshaha. Anyway, this entire Veda Shastram, consisting of two disciplines, serves as means of the accomplishment of all four purusharthas. Chaturvida purushartha praptyartham Veda presents twofold disciplines. And Bhagavad Gita presents the same teaching. That much we have understood already. Praninam Sakshad Abhyudaya Nishreyasa Hetuhu Yaha Saha Dharmaha Brahmanadyaihi Varnibhihi Ashramabhihi Cha Shreyorthibhihi Anushtiyamanaha Dirghena Kalena. It is his dharma, which is the means of, it is this dharma means, it is the Vaidikaha Dharmaha. Vaidika Dharma means this way of life involving these two disciplines alone has been the means of accomplishing for all the beings, for all the people, for all four purusharthas, meant by his two words, Abhyudayaha and Nishreyas. And this is the discipline, which is the way of life to be followed, which has been being followed for a long time. From time immemorial, by all those people who are aspiring for moksha, Shreyorthibhihi Anushtiyamanaha Dirghena Kalena, for a long, long, long time, from time immemorial, this way of life has been being followed by all those who are aspiring for moksha. And his way of life is a means of accomplishing all four purusharthas meant by these two words, abhyudayaha and nishreyas. Okay, until then we have seen the new class. I mean, I'm going to the next read. Anushtatrunam kama udbhavat, kama udbhavat, hiyamana viveka vijnana hetukena adharmena abhibhuyamane dharme pravardhamane cha adharme jagatah sthitim paripipalayishuhu saha adikarta narayanakya vishnuhu bhaumasya brahmanaha brahmanatvasya rakshanartham devakyam vasudevamshena krishnahakila sambabhuva. This sentence also we have already read. In this sentence, the purpose of avatara is mentioned. Bhagavan, mainly with the desire of preserving, protecting this creation, especially when dharma is overpowered by adharma, because of rise of adharma, impelled by the actions, wrong action, because wrong action impelled by the desires, Bhagavan himself came into this world as son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So the reason is given, brahmanatvasya hi rakshane rakshitaha syat vaidikaha dharmaha tad adhinatvat varnashrama bhedanam. See, all the dharmas become protected only when people who live dharma become protected. Therefore, brahmanatvasya rakshane rakshitaha syat vaidikaha dharmaha. Only the people who follow those dharmas are brahmanaha. When they are protected, in their protection only, this very way of life becomes protected. Because the dharma is dependent on those who follow dharma for it to be protected. Tad adhinatvat varnashrama bhedanam. This much we have seen already. Okay, next sentence, the next paragraph I'm beginning today. This is the actual new class. Sahacha Bhagavan Jnanaishwarya Shakti Balavirya Tejobihi Sada Sampannaha Trigunatmikam Swam Maya Mola Prakritim Vashikritya. How does Bhagavan come into existence? How is Bhagavan born? How does the incarnation of Bhagavan happen? That is explained here. Bhagavan is actually ajaha, ajovyayaha. Bhagavan is ajaha, unborn. No doubt, Ishwaraha is unborn. Why Ishwaraha is unborn? Birthlessness is the nature, swarupam. What does it mean? Beginninglessness is the nature. Causelessness is the nature. Bhagavan has no cause. Bhagavan here, who is Bhagavan here? Bhagavan is just the title. Ishwara is the title given to the very reality. The ultimate reality, absolute reality, ultimate truth of this universe alone is looked upon as Ishwara. And that reality is a swarupma of Ishwara. And reality has no beginning. Reality is timeless. Therefore, unborn, ajaha. That is always there. Beginninglessly it is there. Causelessly it is there. Therefore, unborn. Avyayaha, not only beginningless, being beginningless, that reality is not subject to change also. So, Ishwara is of the sort of changelessness, avyayaha. Bhutanam Ishwaraha. And there's no Lord other than this reality. Reality alone is looked upon as the Lord of all the beings. Bhutanam Ishwaraha. Why Bhutanam Ishwaraha? Because all the beings are dependent on Ishwara for their existence, for their survival, for their, they do not exist outside of Ishwara. Therefore, Bhutanam Ishwaraha. Because Ishwara is the very swarupam of every being. Ishwara is the swarup of every being, just as water is the truth of every wave. I'm giving the grossest example. We are going to understand later on the subtlest factor. Bhutanam Ishwaraha. Bhagawan is said to be the Lord of all beings because Bhagawan is the very truth of every being. That is why Bhagawan is given the status of being the Lord. Just as water is the truth of every wave, which lends existence to the wave, which alone is in the form of the wave, which alone appears as the wave. Similarly, Bhagawan here is none other than the reality obtaining as the very truth of every being. The Bhagawan is said to be Bhutanam Ishwaraha. Who is that Bhagawan? We are going to understand. Then, Nitya Buddha, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Swabhavaha, Nitya Buddha Shuddha Mukta Swabhavaha. Bhagawan is ever of the nature of timelessness, Nityaha. Bhagawan is ever of the nature of purity. What does it mean? Already we have understood, Ajaha itself implies timeless. Birthlessness implies timelessness, beginninglessness. So, being always there is the Swarupam. So, Nityaha, Shuddha, absolutely pure. Being pure means what? Being free from all impurities. Being free from all blemishes. Birth, death, changes, those blemishes are not there. Punyam, Papam, Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, Paradha Karma, these are all karmas are not. Bhagawan is free from all Punya Papams. Bhagawan is free from all blemishes, all changes such as birth, death, etc. Bhagawan is free from all impurities such as fear, anxiety, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, etc. Being free from all impurities, being free from all blemishes, being free from all changes, Bhagawan is ever of nature of absolute purity. Shuddha. Nityaha Shuddha Buddha. Buddha means literally Buddha is a participle Buddha, known. But here Buddha means Bhagawan is ever of the nature of knowing. Jnana Swarupaha. Buddha. Then Muktaha. Bhagawan is ever of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore Bhagawan is ever of the nature of freedom. Bhagawan is ever free. Okay, Bhagawan is not bound by karma. Bondage of karma is not there for Bhagawan, who is the very truth implied by the term Atma. Nitya Muktaha. See, Bhagawan is the form of the truth of every being, means Bhagawan is the very self of every being, which is the Atma. Atma is, Atma has no birth, Atma has no death, Atma has not any change. Atma is absolutely pure. Atma is free from bondage. Atma has no bandha, bound by body, mind, sense complex. Atma is ever free. Therefore, Nitya Muktaha, Muktaha, Nityaha, Shuddha, Buddha, Muktaha. Why? Because that is Swabhava. Bhagawan is of the Swarupam. Bhagawan is Swabhava, should be taken as Swarupa here. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupaha. That's the meaning. Bhagawan is ever of the nature of this. Still, so Ajaha Avyaha Bhutanam Ishwaraha Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhavaha Api San In spite of Bhagavan is of that nature, though Bhagavan is of that nature, still Mula Prakritim Swam Mayam Swashi Kritya. So having mastery over his own power of Maya, having mastery means what? Vashikaranam means what? See, the word Vashikaranam means attracting. Having under one spell is Vashikaranam. So when we say Bhagavan does the Vashikaranam, what it means is Bhagavan is not dependent on Maya Shakti for its existence, whereas Maya Shakti doesn't exist independent of, outside of Bhagavan. That's called Vashikaranam. Okay? Vashikaranam means Maya does not have existence outside of. What is Maya? I explained to you already, Maya is nothing but the power. Why it's called Maya? Maya has no independent existence. Therefore, it's called Maya. Ya, ma, sa, Maya means that which is not by itself. That which does not exist really other than the Atma. It was said to be Maya. Okay. So, Swam, Maya, Mola, Prakriti. Mola, Prakriti means the primordial matter, the original matter is Maya. Why it's called Mola Prakriti? Because I told, explained to you last class, Prakrashena Kriyate Anayati Prakriti. That by which something is made is Prakriti. So, Swam Maya Mola Prakriti, making use of this Maya, okay, which is his own inseparable power and which has the material. This Bhagavan, who is of this nature, Ajaha, Avyaha, Bhutanam, Ishwaraha, Nityaha, Shuddha, Buddha Mukta Swabhava, Nitya Buddha Shuddha, Nitya Shuddha, Buddha Mukta Swabhava. So Mayaya, by his own, again the same power of Maya, Dehavaniva, as though embodied, as though having a body, Jataha Iva, as though he was born like any other ordinary person. Bhagavan is here. How? Lokanugraham kurvan lakshyate. Bhagavan is seen, understood to be doing the blessing of this world. It means what? Lokanugraham kurvan lakshyate. Bhagavan is seen to be blessing this world. Seen to be, now this born as though with the body, as though born, only for the purpose of the well-being of the world, only for blessing this world, for the blessing of this world. Okay, now, actually, we have come to this point. Svaprayojana abhavepi. Okay, Bhagavan has come into this existence for the, with the purpose. Now, no, the purpose of Bhagavan's avatara is known very well. Now, is there any benefit for Bhagavan? What is the benefit of, you know, being born in this world as incarnation, as Avatara Purusha? What's the benefit? It is written here, Svaprayojana Bhave Api. Svaprayojana Abhavaha. There is no specific benefit for Bhagavan. Even though there's a specific benefit for Bhagavan, so prayojana abhavepi bhuta anujigrikshaya. Very interesting word, okay? Bhutanam anujigrikshaya. What is anujigrikshaya? To make it very clear, see, this anujigriksha. Anujigriksha is a word derived from the root grih. Grinnati. Grinnati is the verb. Anu is a prefix. Anugrinnati. Grinnati means catches, receives. Anugrinnati means blesses, confers grace. Now, anugrinnati. From this we get the noun anugraha, anugrinnati, anugraha. Now, anugrahitum is the infinitive word. அனுகிரகீத்தும் இச்சா, சி கிரகீத்தும் இச்சா ஜிக்ருக்ஷா, கிரகீத்தும் இச்சா ஜிக்ருக்ஷா, டிசையர் டு ஹோல்ட், டிசையர் டு கேட்ச். பட் அனுகிரகீத்தும், அனுகிரண்ணாத்தும் இச்சா, அனுகிரகீத்தும் இச்சா அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷா, இட்ஸ் எ டெசிடரேட்டிவ் வேர்ட். அனுகிரகீத்தும் இச்சா அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷா. சோ அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷயா இஸ் வாட் தேர்ட் கேஸ், வித் அ டிசையர் டு பிளஸ், வித் அ டிசையர் டு கன்ஃபர் கிரேஸ், வித் அ டிசையர் டு பிளஸ் ஹோம் பூத அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷயா, பூதானாம் அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷயா, பூத அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷயா, வித் த டிசையர் டு பிளஸ் கன்ஃபர் கிரேஸ் அப்பான் த பீயிங்ஸ், த டிசையர் டு பிளஸ் ஆல் த பீயிங்ஸ், ஈவன் தோ தேர் இஸ் நோ ஸ்பெசிபிக் பர்சனல் பெனிஃபிட் ஃபார் பகவான், ஸ்டில் வைதிகம் தர்மத்வயம், வைதிகம் தர்மத்வயம் அர்ஜுனாய உபதிதேஷ, அர்ஜுனாய வைதிகம் தர்மத்வயம் அர்ஜுனாய உபதிதேஷ, உபதிதேஷ உபதிஷ்டவான், உபதிதேஷ இஸ் அ பாஸ்ட் பர்ஃபெக்ட் இன் ஸ்வபாவ் உபதிஷதி, உபதிதேஷ இத்துக்தே உபதிஷ்டவான் ஆசீத். சோ பகவான் ஹேட் டாட் this way of life involving twofold disciplines, dharmadvayam, this pair of disciplines, the way of life involving these two disciplines, which is the Veda Shastra, Vedic way of life, vaidikam dharmadvayam, these twofold disciplines enjoined by the Veda Shastram, Bhagavan had taught to Arjuna. Arjunaya upadidesha. Kimartam bhutanam anujigrikshaya. Because of Bhagavan's desire to bless, to confer grace upon the beings, Bhagavan taught this. Kim prayojanam bhagavataha ivarkenna labam? What benefit does he have? Because we don't do anything without expecting a benefit, okay? We cannot do anything. Bhagavan does means that what benefit by Bhagavan expect? Swaprayojana, swaprayojana abhavepi, swaprayojana abhavepi, even though there is no specific personal gain, personal benefit for Bhagavan, still Bhagavan, only with the desire to bless the beings, these twofold Vedic disciplines Bhagavan had taught to Arjuna. Dharmadvayam Arjunaya upadidesha. Okay. Was Arjuna very happy? Kidrushaya Arjunaya upadidesha. Kidrushaya Arjunaya Bhagavan upadishtavan upadidesha. Important, okay? These two words describe all the human beings. Nimagnaha, Arjunaha is Nimagnaha. Nimagnaya Arjunaya. Nimagnaha means one who has drowned. One who remains, okay, drowning. One who has already drowned. Drowned in what? Drowned in the ocean. Udadihi. Udadihi, ocean. Not ordinary ocean, Mahaudadihi, Mahodadihi, great ocean, great ocean. So Bhagavan taught this to Arjuna, who was drowning in the great ocean. Great ocean of what? Great ocean of samsara, fraught with grief and delusion. Simple, okay? Shoka and Moha, they always go together, like Rati and Manmatha. Okay, Rati and Manmatha, desire and attachment are inseparable. Manmatha is desire, Rati is attachment. They're inseparable. Like this, Shoka Moha are also inseparable. You know, Where there is moha, there will be shoka. Where there is shoka, there will be moha. If you are highly sorrowful and grieving, you cannot think in grief, you cannot think properly, you will be deluded, confused. When you are deluded alone, you are confused. When you are grieving. Grief, Pooja Swami used to say, grief has no legitimacy. Shokaha means grief. Grief has no legitimacy means what? Grief is meaningless. Grief is purely because of delusion. If there's no delusion, grief will disappear. So whoever is grieving definitely must be what? Deluded. Whoever is grieving must be deluded. The deluded alone has grief. Deluded people alone have grief. Delusion means what? Moha means what? Moha means avivekaha. Lack of discriminative knowledge. Lack of discriminative understanding is mohaha. Avivekaha is equal to mohaha. Lack of discriminative understanding means what? Discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real. What is permanent, what is not permanent. We do not know what is real and what is not real. Why this avivekaha? Because we do not know what is real. What is absolutely real is not known. This not knowing what is absolutely real alone is said to be ignorance of the absolute reality, Brahma Jnanam. This ignorance of what is absolutely real alone is said to be Atma Jnanam. There's ignorance of what is absolutely real. Therefore, there's no discriminative understanding of what is absolutely real, what is not real, what is real. Is not, there's no viveka. Because this lack of discriminative understanding, okay, this lack of discriminative understanding alone gives rise to, contributes for shokaha. Grief is the product of delusion. Grief is the symptom of the disease of delusion. Arjuna is ajnani. Therefore, helplessly he has mohaha. He has avivekaha. Because of aviveka, he becomes the victim of grief, shokaha. And this is maha udadihi, maha abdihi, mahodadihi. Great ocean. Why? Because it is not something which can be overcome overnight. Okay, you have headache, one tablet you take, next day you are fine. One paracetamol, one Tylenol, okay, you're okay. This is not like that. This disease is what? This is anadi, beginningless. This disease of ignorance is beginningless. Ajnanam is the roga, which is beginningless. And this disease, ajnanam is beginningless. Therefore, ignorance causes delusion is beginningless. Delusion is beginningless. Delusion causes grief also is beginningless. And how begin? We know the reason. How? There is a parampara, isn't it? How helplessly we have desires. How helplessly we are impelled to actions. How helplessly, choicelessly we are accumulating punya papams. So helplessly we had to be born again to exhaust the punya papam. And when you go through the punya papams, we go through pairs of opposites. And while exhausting the punya papam, helplessly we accumulate again new punya papams, agami karma. Agami joins the sanchitam again. So sanchitam never becomes reduced. Why maha udadihi? Please understand, I'm explaining maha udadihi. Maha udadihi, this ocean of samsara, this beginningless, endless cycle of countless number of births and deaths, is likened to an ocean of some huge ocean. Why it's a huge ocean? Because it's beginningless. Because it is endless. Why it is beginningless? Because ignorance, the cause of samsara is beginningless. Therefore, samsara is beginningless. Why it is endless? As long as ignorance is there, சோ லாங் வில் தெர் பி டிசையர்ஸ், சோ லாங் வில் சோ லாங் வில் தெர் பி டெல்யூஷன், சோ லாங் வில் தெர் பி டிசையர்ஸ், சோ லாங் வில் தெர் பி பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ், சோ லாங் வில் தெர் பி அக்யூமுலேஷன் ஆஃப் புண்ணிய பாபம்ஸ், சோ லாங் வில் தெர் பி the need to be born to exhaust the punya papams, therefore it is endless. Understand? And it's beginningless, endless. What is beginningless, endless? That is why the samsara is not the life of transmigration. The transmigratory life is not a straight line. It is a beginningless, endless cycle of countless number of births and deaths. Every time you are born because of paradha karma, while exhausting the paradha karma, you helplessly are accumulating new punya papams called agami karma. Agami joins the sanchitam. Sanchitam always remains. Sanchitam permanently remains. You're only exhausting the paradha, a set of paradha, every time you are born. When you're exhausting a small portion of paradha, accumulating a new portion of agami, therefore, udadihi is a maha udadihi, huge ocean. They do not know what to compare this. Samsara too. Therefore, shastra means samsara sagaraha. So huge maha udadihi. And this maha udadi is always fraught with what? Moha shoka. Okay. Shoka moha maha udadau nimagnaha. So all individual jivas or have drowned in this, helplessly drowned in this beginningless, endless, huge ocean of samsara fraught with, okay, this grief, delusion and grief. So Arjuna is a representative, okay? Arjuna stands for all of us. So Bhagavan taught this twofold Vedic disciplines, which formed one beautiful way of life called eternal way of life called Sanatanaha Dharmaha. Bhagavan taught this to Arjuna, who had drowned in the ocean of huge ocean of samsara fraught with delusion and grief. Okay. ஷோக்க மோக மகா மகோதௌ மகான் உததிஹி மகோ மகா உததிஹி மகோததிஹி. காம்பவுண்ட் ஷோக்க மோக மகோததௌ நிமக்னாய அர்ஜுனாய பகவான் வைதிகம் தர்மத்வயம் உபதிதேஷ பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் ஹிஸ் அனுஜிக்ருக்ஷ, பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் ஹிஸ் டிசையர் டு bless the beings. Okay. Gunadhikaihi hi grihitaha anushtiyamanaha dharmaha prachayam gamishyati iti. Bhagavan taught this to Arjuna because he knows, Bhagavan is Sarvajna, he knows what is I am dharmaha prachayam gamishyati. Prachayam gamishyati means dharma will become preserved forever. Dharma will become popular. Bhagavan, dharma will become well known. It becomes well known means the more it is known, the more people will start following this. That's why we feel so grateful to Pujya Swamiji and all of the Mahatmas who came out and taught this. For a long time, this teaching has been there. This Shastra has been there for so long. But we've been brought up in the religion with this very staunch religious background. We've been religious, been worshipful, we've been prayerful, we've been going to temples. Still, the connection, you know, why we worship, what is worship, what is significance of worship, what is the efficacy of teacher, the prayer, Why should we follow values? What are the value? What is the value of values? The connections are never understood. And how everything is validated. Everything is the importance of doing everything. Nothing is unimportant here. Singing bhajans, chanting verse mantras, reciting shlokas, and worshipping, praying, living a life of dharma, doing one's duties. Everything is so important, all well connected. If you understand this connection, one must know the purusharta. What am I living this life for? And what should I know in this life? Ultimately, what should I know? How I should live? How I can develop myself? How I can grow emotionally? How emotional growth, emotional maturity is dependent on, ultimately on jnanam, relatively on living a life of dharma. Without becoming mature, please understand, very important lesson. Without becoming mature, you can never be happy. Happiness is dependent on maturity. Is immaturity, we are unhappy. Unhappiness is because of immaturity. Happiness is dependent on maturity. And what is it which makes a person mature? It is the knowledge of the reality which makes a person absolutely mature. And it is strictly living a life of dharma which makes a person relatively mature. Dharma helps a person. Dharma takes care of a person's emotional growth, maturity, relatively. And jnanam takes care of the absolute maturity of the person. Live a life of dharma, take care of your relative maturity, which will culminate in the absolute maturity by attaining jnanam. Isn't it? Therefore, in jnanam, it is jnanam. That's why we say dharma protects relatively, jnanam protects absolutely. Dharma takes care of your relative maturity, jnanam takes care of one's absolute maturity. That is why we have to strictly live a life of dharma, as live a life of karma yoga, and attain jnanam for absolute maturity. No way, nothing. There's no way of discovering happiness which is already there. You have to see that maturity is important. Okay, for that, we need to understand, isn't it? So, who teaches this? Imagine, Pamiji now came out. Now, this was somewhere sitting in, somewhere in the corners, some scholars. It was not accessible for other people. Now, at least we're exposed to Shastra teaching because teaching is available. Anyway, so what I'm saying, we had to understand, therefore, Prachayam Gamishyati means what? The only when the person knows the value of studying the Shastram, now more people, he will study Shastram. He will follow the import. When a person knows the importance of following this way of life, he will follow this value, way of life. See, in order to follow this way of life, to enjoy the benefit of following this way of life, one must know the importance of it. One must know about it. So, prachaya gamanam is important. Prachaya gamanam means shastram, this two disciplines, the Vedic way of life involving these two disciplines, consisting of these two disciplines, must become popular, must become well known, so it should be preserved, it must be followed by people, so that people can enjoy the benefit of following this way of life. Therefore, prachayam gachet, prachayam gamishyati, this teaching will become very well known, popular, that many, 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 many people will be able to come to know about this teaching, and they will enjoy the benefit of this teaching also. For that, the teaching must be first, should be received by whom? Gunadhikaihi dharmaha grihitaha. this dharma has been grasped. This dharma has been grasped by always people of tremendous virtues. Gunaihi adhikaha, gunadhikaha. Gunaihi adhikaha. Adhikaha means exalted people. Great people are adhikaha. Who are great people? Who are exalted people? People who are virtuous people are exalted people. Gunaihi adhikaha, gunadhikaha. This dharma, this Bhagavan's teaching has been received, grasped by exalted people of great virtues. Gunadhikaha means exalted people of great virtues. Highly virtuous people are gunadhikaha. Received by virtuous people. Not virtuous also implies celebrities. See, Duryodhana has a celebrity as a king. Arjuna is also a celebrity. Who is gunadhikaha? Arjuna. Understand now? It was received by celebrities. And celebrity means it becomes popular very soon. Some ordinary person received means it won't become popular. Arjuna was a celebrity. Arjuna was a prince. Arjuna was known for his virtues. Arjuna was known for his valor. Arjuna was known for his looks, was his personality. Arjuna was known for his skills, intelligence, brilliance. Arjuna was very popular. Arjuna was a great hero. So, Arjuna was gunadhikaha. So, this knowledge always was received and grasped by exalted people of virtues, highly virtuous people like Arjuna. Then, anushtiyamanaha, only when people, virtuous people receive this, righteous people, pious people receive this, it be followed also. That's why, paatha marandhi bikshayidu, they say, only the food should be given only to a person who is hungry. Then he will eat it. Similarly, Pupu who is desperately aspiring for this knowledge, for them this knowledge should be given. Then they'll also follow this teaching. So, that's why gunadhikaihi grihitaha anushtiyamanaha. This dharma was imparted, this teaching was imparted to always people who are highly virtuous. So that it's also being followed by such people. Understand? So Bhagavan gave this teaching which has been received by virtuous people and also strictly followed by this. Grihitaha anushtiyamanaha, received, grasped by people of virtuous people, then followed by them, will become what? Prachayam gamishyati, will become very well known, popular, will be, many, many people will be able to follow this teaching. Prachayam gamishyati. So Bhagavan taught this to Arjuna, thinking that this teaching received by virtuous people, which should be followed by them, will attain popularity. Bhagavan did not believe in cheap popularity. Okay? Prachayam gamishyati. It will attain well-known. It will become well-known. It will attain popularity. Tam dharmam bhagavata yathopadishtam. Vedavyasaha sarvajnaha bhagavan gitakyehi sapt. Tabhi shloka shataihi upanibabandha. See, upanibabandha, upanibaddhavan. See, babandha, baddhavan, nibabandha, nibaddhavan, upanibabandha, upanibaddhavan means composed. Compiled and composed. ஹூ கம்போஸ் திஸ் டீச்சிங் அகெய்ன் தம் தர்மம் பகவதா யதா உபதிஷ்டம் சி பை பகவான் ஹிம்செல்ஃப் திஸ் டீச்சிங் வாஸ் கிவன் பகவான் பீங் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் அண்ட் த ஃபார்மோஸ்ட் பிகினிங் லிங்க் ஆஃப் திஸ் லினியேஜ் ஆஃப் பர் டீச்சர்ஸ் திஸ் டீச்சிங் வாஸ் கிவன் taught by Bhagavan himself in the form of Veda. Isn't it? Bhagavata yatha upadishtam, and the same teaching again was taught by Bhagavan's avatar Krishna to Arjuna. So who heard this teaching? Krishna taught this to Arjuna. Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna imparted this knowledge to Arjuna. பகவதா அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதா தட்ஸ் வாட் இஸ் செட் ஹியர் அகெயின் நாராயணாய சாட்சாத் நாராயணாய பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதா திஸ் டீச்சிங் வாஸ் கிவன் பை பகவான் ஹிம்செல் டு அர்ஜுனா பகவான் நாராயண ஹிம்செல் நவ் சேம் நாராயணா இன் தி ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் கிருஷ்ணா ஓகே டாட் திஸ் டு ஹூ அர்ஜுனா Therefore it is said, Bhagavata yatha upadishtam, exactly as taught by Bhagavan to Arjuna, that dharmam, okay, that Vedic way of life involving these two disciplines, exactly as taught by Bhagavan, Vedavyasaha, உபநிபந்த சோ வேதவியாசக கம்பைல்ட் த சேம் டீச்சிங் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி அஸ் டாட் பை பகவான் இன் ஹிஸ் மகாபாரதம் இன் தி நேம் ஆஃப் பகவத்கீதா ஹவு ஹூ இஸ் வேதவியாச டோன்ட் டேக் ஹிம் ஃபார் கிராண்டட் இட்ஸ் நாட் ஆர்டினரி ஹூ கம்பைல்ட் திஸ் டீச்சர் இஸ் பகவான் கிருஷ்ணா Rishiraj, this teaching was Arjuna, the great celebrity, highly virtuous. And again, who it was compiled by whom? The same teaching was compiled by whom? Vedavyasa. The Vyasacharya who compiled the Veda Shastram. He is Vedavyasa. The Veda adjective is added here, not all. See, Vyasaha is a surname. Vyasaha means compiler. Vyasyati iti vyasaha. Any compiler can be so many carpenters, so many goldsmiths, so many compilers. But he is an ordinary compiler. This is Vedavyasa. Compiler of Veda mantras. All Veda mantras which were scattered here and there. He compiled them all and put them correctly. And as Rigyajusama Atharvana. We didn't have four Vedas. There was only one Veda. One huge treasure of knowledge, Jnana Bandhara we had. Veda consisting of countless number of mantras here and there. They were all compiled and given four different headings as Rigyaja Sama Atharvana by Veda Vyasacharya. That's why he is called Veda Vyasaha. That Veda Vyasa, which means Vyasacharya who compiled the Veda mantras has in and had thorough knowledge of the entire Veda in and through. And this Vyasacharya also is said to be another avatar of Bhagavan Mahavishnu himself. Not only Krishna is avatar of Narayana, Vyasa is also Vishnu Rupaha. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya Vyasa Rupaya Vishnave. Who is Vyasa? Vyasa is Vishnu. Vishnu alone is in the form of Vyasa. So Vyasacharya is not an ordinary person to give this teaching. See the qualification, which learning, knowledge we have now. Vyasa, Veda Vyasaha. Veda Vyasa is the teacher himself, compiler. Teacher is Bhagavan Krishna. Sishya is Arjuna. Compiler of this teaching, whole teaching is Vyasacharya. So, we should not think Bhagavan Krishna sat in the battlefield for eight, you know, he taught verse after verse after verse, 700 verse he taught in the battlefield. And especially the battlefield. Okay, so it's all symbolic. We are going to see the meaning later on. Actually, Bhagavan Krishna must have given very clear teaching very briefly, and Vyasacharya must have elaborated this teaching. Okay, so katham Vedavyasaha sarvajnaha Bhagavan. Vedavyasaha also another than omniscient Lord Mahavishnu himself, Bhagavan. And he compiled this teaching, these two disciplines of Vedic disciplines, in the form of what? Bhagavad Gita, consisting of 700 verses. Gita khyaihi saptabihi shloka shataihi. Shlokanam shatam. Shlokanam shatani shloka shatani. 700s, not 100, shlokanam shatani, hundreds of verses. Bhagavan compiled this teaching in hundreds of verses. How many hundreds? Saptabhihi, 700s of verses. Not 100, 200, 700s of verses. 700s of verses known as Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Gita Khyaihi Saptabhihi Shloka Shataihi. So Vedavyasaha Sarvajnaha Bhagavan Vedavyasaha Gita Khyaihi, Gita Akhyaihi Saptabhihi Shloka Shataihi Upanibabandha Upanibaddhavan. So Vyasacharya compiled the teaching given by Bhagavan Krishna to Arjuna exactly as it was given, without distorting, in the form of 700s of verses, constituting the text known as Gita. Okay, now with all introduction, tadidam Gita Shastram, and that is this Bhagavad Gita which you are going to understand. Tadidam Gita Shastram, sa iyam Gita, it must have been, but Shastram is there, therefore tadidam Gita Shastram. This Gita, Bhagavad Gita, is nothing but Shastram. Shastram. Gita is Shastram. That is this Gita Shastram. Why Bhagavad Gita is Shastram? Puja Swamiji used to say beautifully, Shastram means, now we call every discipline as Shastram. Now Natya Shastram, Sangeeta Shastram, now Ganita Shastram, Bhautika Shastram. Actually speaking, Shastram means absolutely, Shastram means Vedaha. And next to Veda, which has the status of being revered as Shastram, is Bhagavad Gita. What is Shastram? Shasanat Trayate Iti Shastram. Shasanat Trayate Iti Shastram. Shasti Trayate Iti Shastram. See, Shasti is a second conjugation verb. Shasti means governs. Trayate means protects. Shasti means governs. Trayate means protects. So that which protects by governing the way of life is Shastram. Trayate, katam trayate, katam rakshati. How does the teaching protect? The teaching protects by governing one's way of life. Therefore, Shasanat trayate iti Shastram, Shasti trayate iti Shastram. And here, we don't need to worry about Veda Shastram now. What we need to understand from the Veda, the whole teaching is given in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a Gita is Shastram. Tad idam கீதாசாஸ்திரம் தரிதம் கீதாசாஸ்திரம். வாட் இஸ் கீதாசாஸ்திரம்? சமஸ்த வேதார்த்த சார சங்கிரக போதம். We don't need to worry about going to the shop, buying fruits, coming, bringing it back home, putting it in the, you know, mixture and then liquidizer and strain it, juice. No. So much of effort. When are we going to study all the shastrams? We do not know how many mantras are there in the Vedas, all four Vedas. How much is taught, we do not know. And we have 36 Upapuranas, my God, we do not know. 36 Puranas, 18 Upapuranas, 18 Mahapuranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, we know little everything. And only one in language, in regional languages, we have so many, countless number of books reflecting Vedic teaching. We have no time to read everything. Don't worry. What is Bhagavad Gita? Ready-made juice is available. Okay, in a carton of juice, no? The cotton juice readily available with all vitamins and all nutrients. Similarly here, we have Taridam Gita Shastram. Gita Shastram Samasta Veda Artha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. Bhagavad Gita in Bhutam means in the form of Bhagavad Gita as a text in the form of the essence, the collection, Sangraha means a collection. Bhagavad Gita is in the form of the collection of, the extraction of, the essence of, the meanings of the entirety of the Veda. Samasta, Veda, Sara, Sangraha, Bhutam. Bhagavad Gita is in the form of the extracted essence of the meanings of the entirety of the Veda Shastram. And Durvigneyartham. Durvigneyaha Artaha Yasya Shastrasya. Tat Shastram Durvigneyartham Shastram. Adjective. But because it presents the extracted essence of the meanings of all the four Vedas, it is not easily comprehensible. Durvigneyartham. The meanings of the words of Bhagavad Gita also need to be unfolded properly, understood properly. It is not, we can't just read and understand, read it. I know Sanskrit language. Let me read the Bhagavad Gita verses. No. Pooja Swamiji used to say this. People who have knowledge of English language cannot go and buy any book on physics or in mathematics in English language and understand. Subject matter needs to be understood. Isn't it? And it needs a lot of preparation. You must have basic understanding. Therefore, Durvigneyartha. Very subtle, profound teaching. Therefore, not easily understandable. The content, the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita's, words of Bhagavad Gita also, is not easily comprehensible. That doesn't mean it's impossible to understand. It is comprehensible if it is properly studied from the teacher, with the Shraddha, with the commitment, and following the way of life enjoyed by the Shastram, it is suvigneyam. Otherwise, it is durvigneyartham. Therefore, tadartha avishkaranaya. Tadartha avishkaranaya, as this, the meanings of the words of Bhagavad Gita are not easily comprehensible, understandable. Therefore, tadartha avishkaranaya. For researching and for finding out that the subtle meanings, tadartha avishkaranaya, for finding out, for discovering தி சட்டில் மீனிங்ஸ். அநேகைஹி விவ்ருத பத பதார்த்த வாக்கியார்த்தானி வாக்கியார்த்த நியாயமபி. This Bhagavad Gita has, what now? There's so many expositions, explanations. So many explanations. So many authors have done so many explanations, so many commentaries for discovering, for finding out the meaning of the verses, Bhagavad Gita verses. Tadartha means Tesham Artha Avishkaranaya, for finding out the exact meanings of the words of Bhagavad Gita. Anekaihi, by many people. Vivrita Pada Padartha Vakyartha Nyayamapi. It's a beautiful compound. See, Vivrita means what? Bhagavad Gita. Pada Vivritam means padanam vivaranam. See, explanation, vyakhyanam, vyakhyanam, otherwise called vyakhya. Vyakhya is a feminine noun. Vyakhyanam is a masculine noun. That is neuter noun. Vyakhyanam is a neuter noun. Vyakhya is a feminine noun. What does it mean? Vyakhya or vyakhyanam means explanation. Explanation. An explanation, to explain something, there are five important factors involved. To explain a verse, and here the teaching is given in the form of verses. Generally, explanations, the teaching will be in the form of prose also. Sometimes teaching is given in the form of prose. Teaching is in the form of poetry, the verses, verse form, prose form. And Bhagavad Gita consists saptashata shlokaha, just as we saw. We have 700 verses. Therefore, when the teaching is given in the form of a verse, the explanation of it involves five factors. What are the five factors? Pada vivaranam. Pada vivruta pada means what? Pada vivaranam. Pada vivaranam means we should take the compound words. We should break the sandhis. There are many sandhiyukta shabdaha, the words with euphonic combinations. The euphonic combinations, sandhi must be broken. So breaking the sandhis and separating the words is called pada vibhagaha. Pada vibhagaha. We have to separate the words, compound words, separation of words. Separation of the words in a compound word is called pada vibhagaha. This is called pada vivaranam. We first of all, we make out what is this compound word, what are the words there. So pada vibhagaha, pada vivaranam. After understanding the words, then we'll see the meanings. Artha vivaranam. Okay, knowing the details of the meanings of the words. Meanings of the words. Pada vivarana means understanding the words by separating them. Pada vibhagaha. Then artha vivaranam. I'll explain this compound again. Now understand these five factors now. Then knowing the meanings first. What is the actual meaning of the word, literal meaning of the word? What is the implied meaning of the word? What is the contextual meaning of the word? Understanding the meanings. Pada vivaranam, padartha vivaranam. Then, vakya vivaranam. Then, what is the meaning of all these words together in a sentence? வாக்கியவரணம் பத பதார்த்த வாக்கிய வாக்கியார்த்த விவரணம் நியாய விவரணம் நியாய விவரணம். சோ ஃபர்ஸ்ட் பிரேக்கிங் த வேர்ட்ஸ் பிரேக்கிங் தி சந்தீஸ் இஸ் ஸ்டெப் நம்பர் ஒன். தென் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் த மீனிங் ஆஃப் வேர்ட்ஸ் இஸ் செகண்ட் ஸ்டெப் செகண்ட் ஃபேக்டர் பதார்த்த விவரணம். The third one, Vakya Varana, means we have to understand Vigraha. Vigraha is not mentioned. I am giving the meaning for this word Vakya Varana. What is Vakya Varana? Vigraha. Okay, Vigraha means, no, first of all, separating the sentence. First, Sandhi, breaking Sandhis. They understand the meanings of the words. Then, separating the words, afterwards combining the words, kind of vakya yojana, and combining, connecting the words, forming a sentence is called vakya yojana. Pada yojanena vakyam, padanam yojana, combining the words and getting the complete this proper sentence is Vakya Yojana. Third. The next factor is, suppose there, when the teaching comes, there definitely there will be always some the people who differ in their views from what is actual teaching. People who have different views, whose views are different from the teaching. The different views of other people which differ from the teaching is said to be akshepaha. Definitely, no, there will be some people who will not mechanically accept the teaching as it is given because they have their own views. Oh, Krishna says this, why should I follow? Like that. Pooja Swamiji used to say, Talayati Bammehal. You must think. That does not mean you must, not that being disrespectful to Bhagavan, not that, please understand, with the tremendous reverence to Bhagavan and the teaching, still it is possible for you, when you think also, you may have your own view. Your own thinking may bring some view, which definitely it is fallacious. It's wrong. But still thinking will come. Therefore, we must think. Or sometimes other people also who think and they come and confuse you also. Others thinking or your own thinking may have some other views. It's called akshepaha. And once whenever the such views, our own views are views of others which we hear from. Those views differ from the teaching. Then we must see how understand the error in our views, fallacy in our views, for which the teacher must give what was samadhanam. The samadhanam means what? The answer which negates, which refutes the wrong thinking or wrong views. Samadhanam. These five factors are involved in any vyakhyanam, any explanation. So in our culture, see, you can see in Vedic culture, you are never expected to accept simply what is being taught. You can have your question and not arrogantly put the question. Very natural for us to have the doubts. To have questions. We present our questions and doubts politely, with reverence. And the teacher is supposed to clarify your doubts. Doubts are possible, your own views are possible, doubts, queries, you know, views can be politely with reverence presented. And definitely the teaching must give right answer, right perspective, right teaching. In the sense, the doubts must be clarified. The explanation given must be clarifying your doubts, resolving your queries, correcting your views. Okay? It must be resolving your queries, correcting your doubts, clarifying your doubts, and correcting your views. Samadhanam. This is what is said to be explanation. Vyakhyanam ittukte kim. Vyakhyanam means padachedaha, padarthoktihi, vigrahaha, vakyayojana. Akshepasya samadhanam. Vyakhyanam panchalakshanam. Vyakhyanam involves these five factors.
How many?
Yeah.
You said Nyaya Vivaranam as well. Where does that come?
Yeah, Nyaya Vivaranam means, this is what Nyaya Vivaranam means, is Akshepa Samadham Nyaya Vivaranam. See, logically, Nyaya Vivaranam means when the doubts come, queries come, giving the appropriate answer, the answer which must not simply shutting the mouth of the other person. The answer given must be in the form of clarification of doubts, resolution of queries, okay, and correction of erroneous views. That is called Nyaya Vivaranam. Okay, so what I want to say here, let me explain to you in the next class, the more of these things. Vyakhyanam ittukte kim. We'll again explain this next class. What I want to say, Bhagavad Gita, this tadet idam shastram, it's a beautiful adjective describing the shastram. How many we have seen now? This tadidam Gita shastram. Tadidam Gita shastram. Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhotam. Number one, you understood. Durvignyayartham Gita Shastram. Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhotam Gita Shastram. Two adjectives. The third one is what? Tadartha Avishkaranaya Anekaihi Vivruta Pada Padartha Vakyartha Nyayam. It has the explanation written by many authors involving these five factors. This again I'll explain tomorrow in the class. Atyanta viruddha anekarthatvena. Atyanta viruddha anekarthatvena. And sometimes with completely diagonally opposite meanings also, explanations are given by some people. Lauki kaihi grihyamanam. See, lauki kaihi grihyamanam. Laukikaha here does not mean worldly people. Simple people. Simple people are the people who are not exposed to the Vedic teaching, who never had an opportunity to understand the teaching of the Vedic Shastra. See, tadartha avishkaranaya anekaihi vivruta pada padartha vakyartha nyayam. That one compound, I have given the little basic meaning. I'm going to explain this again tomorrow, okay? Because the time. But laukikaihi grihyamanam, this Bhagavad Gita teaching is grasped, received even by ordinary simple people who are not scholars, who are not exposed to the Veda Shastram, Vedic teachings. Without being exposed to the Vedic teaching also, understanding the core vision of the Veda Shastram is something great. Therefore, Laukikaihi Grihyamanam Gita Shastram, Bhagavad Gita is the Shastram, which is understood even by ordinary people who are not exposed to Shastra teaching. At the same time, there's a possibility of understanding wrongly also. The sense, Atyanta Virudha Aneka Arthatvena, completely, totally contradictory, different, opposite, in the form of opposite meanings also. It can be misunderstood, can be wrongly understood also by simple people. Okay. Upalabhya. Okay. Upalabhya means what? Having thoroughly understood. Upalabhya means having got an idea. Very beautiful word, okay? Upalabhya. Having got an idea of how this Bhagavad Gita Shastram is understood by ordinary people. And how exactly Bhagavad Gita, what is Bhagavad Gita teaching is all about. Having understood all this, having got a complete picture of this Bhagavad Gita teach Shastram, Upalabhya. Upalabhya means what? Literally, Upalabhya means having attained, having got. Upalabhya here means having got a complete picture of this Bhagavad Gita teaching, described by all these adjectives. Shankaracharya says, Aham Vivekataha Artha Nirdharanartham. Okay, very carefully. Sankshepataha Vivaranam Karishyami. Vivaranam Karishyami. I will do the explanation briefly. Sankshepataha, briefly, Viranam Karishyami. I shall do the explanation briefly. Artha Nirdharanartham. Vivekataha Artha Nirdharanartham. For the clear ascertainment of the meanings. For the clear ascertainment of the meanings, I shall do the explanation briefly. He again, Shankaracharya says, why he has to write his commentary. Aham Vivaranam Karishyami means what? I shall explain. I shall do the explanation. How? Sankshepataha. Not too elaborately, but briefly. And my brief explanation will be for what? Artha Nirdharanartham. Nirdharana means what? For the ascertainment of the meanings, the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Artha Nirdharanartham. Vivekataha means clearly, for a clear ascertainment of the meaning of the verses of Bhagavad Gita. Sankshepataha Viranam Karishyami. I shall explain briefly. I shall do the explanation briefly. Why? I have got a clear picture of this Bhagavad Gita. What is the clear picture he has got? You understood two adjectives clearly. The one more I'll explain tomorrow. Okay, so this sentence, Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam, we understood. Durvigyayartham, you understood. Later on, Tadartha Avishkaranaya Anekaihi Vivruta Pada Padartha Vakyartha Nyayam. That adjective and the following one I'll explain tomorrow. Okay. What is Bhagavad Gita? Here we have many adjectives describing Bhagavad Gita. Okay, we'll see tomorrow.
Swamini, can you explain Durvijnayartham again, please?
Durvijnayartham. See, vijnayam. See, jnayam, potential passive participle, which is jnayam, janati, knows. Jnayam can be known, knowable. Vijnayam can be known, knowable. Durvijnayam can be known with difficulty. Durvijnayam can be known with difficulty means cannot be known easily. Not easily comprehensible. But because, why it is not easily comprehensible? Very subtle teaching. It is about understanding something which is the most abstract. Finally, we need to understand something most abstract, subtlest, inexplicably subtlest, formless, attributeless. Not only understanding as an object. Easy to understand something as an object. But this something subtlest, most abstract has to be understood not as an object, as the very self. This is Swamiji used to say this. Because when identity is with the body, the grossest body, and you have something to hold on to, isn't it? Something. But when identity shifted from this grossest to the subtlest consciousness, and it is not easy for the mind also. Okay, that's why one needs to be adequately mature also. That is why Durvijnayartham.
Thank you.
Durvijnayartham Gita Shastram.
Yeah.
The Gita Shastram, the contents of Bhagavad Gita, content of Bhagavad Gita is not
easily understood.
Comprehensible easily means it can be understood only with difficulty. Mm-hmm. Durvijnayam. Okay. I tell you one thing. All grammar-related questions must be asked in Bhagavad class. Okay? I have requests because people who do not know Samskritam will be overwhelming already. So we'll make this, any grammar-related question must be asked in Samskritam class. Here only the Shastra-based questions will answer here. Okay?
Okay?
Anyway, don't worry. We have just started now. Only now, we have entered into, now we have come to that, I had a Gita learning. The Bhashyam study has begun. That feeling has come only today. Now we'll be entering it gradually. See you tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.